Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been talking about living in the revelation. And the revelation, of course, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we want to understand that it was a revelation. Because Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood didn't give you this, but my Father revealed it to you. And he said, furthermore, on this revelation that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, I am building my church. And the gates of hell shall not, cannot, will not prevail against it. So it's very important that we understand that we are that church for which the gates of hell cannot prevail. We are that church. Tell your neighbor, say, we are that church. The gates of hell cannot, doesn't say it's not going to come. It's not going to say it's going to beat that beat on your gates, but it's not going to prevail. It's not, it can't come in and it can't keep us out. So Donnie Ramble or Rita McGuire, they'd sing that song, Storm in the Gates of Hell. And we need to understand that the gates of hell can't keep us out. We can go in, tear the place up, and we should be going in because we can. But we have to understand how to live in that revelation. And we talked about a number of different aspects of it, and you can, you know, go back and listen to some previous teachings on it. I don't have time to do a review this morning. But what I want to let you know this morning is that the revelation belongs to you. The revelation belongs to you. Yes, we have to be convinced to the core that everything concerning the revelation that we are the church, that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, and we are the church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against us. We have to understand that. We have to understand what it means. We have to know that it belongs to us. Look at Deuteronomy 29. King James, verse 29. Let me know when you're there. Just say amen or I'm there. Let's read Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, usually we use that when there's something going on we don't understand. Someone goes home to be with the Lord, we don't understand. We say, well, the secret things belong to God. And that's true. But we need to focus on that which is revealed to us by God belongs to us. And he expects us to live in the revelation that he's given us. Because it says right here, for those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, so that we may do all the words of this law. So God's expectation is that once he has revealed something to us, he expects us to do it. He expects us to act like we got the revelation. And he expects us to pass it on so that our children are doing it also. We're not to keep it just for ourselves. We're to order our households, our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities after the revelation that we got from God. God understands that we don't, well, people will hold you accountable for what you don't know. I mean, I've had sessions with folks. I've had conversations with married folks, and they have these expectations of their spouse. Problem is, the spouse doesn't know. And you have all of these, this angst in marriages, because one person knows something or has an expectation, it's not properly communicated to the other person, so they don't know. But they're being held accountable for something they don't know. God doesn't do that. He'll give you a revelation, then he'll hold you responsible for it. He'll hold you accountable for it. You know why? He knows you know. And when he knows you know, well, that servant that knows the Lord's will and doesn't do it shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant who does not know shall be beaten with few. But while people may have a tendency to hold us accountable for things we just don't know, God will never do that. He'll always make a way for us to get revelation. He'll always make a way for us to know what how he's directing, how he's instructing, what he's commanding. He will make it known to us. So how do you know that? Because he said that when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll testify of me. He'll bring to your remembrance everything that I've said, and he will show you things to come. So now think about it. If God thought we would just read his word and get it, he wouldn't need the fivefold ministry. He wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. You just read it and you got it and you operate with it. But God knows that people don't learn like that. So he gave us all of these aids. He gave us all of this assistance because he wants us to get it. Because when we get it, we'll do it. And if we're not doing it, it's because we didn't get it. I personally believe, I'll say it this way. I don't believe someone gets a revelation and just discards it. I don't believe that. I believe they got the revelation and didn't understand what it was. Well, if you got it and didn't understand it, then guess what? You really didn't get it. And that's okay. That's okay. You go to God, you know me, I didn't get it. You know, I'm not sure what this means. And he'll give you the revelation. And he'll give it to you in a manner that you'll understand. Now think about it. I don't speak any German. Yeah, I think I do. Sprechen die Deutsch. That's it. Okay. But if I stood up here and started speaking to you and ministering you in German and expecting you to understand it, it's like if I stood in front of you and I'm teaching and I'm speaking in tongues, I said, "You got it?" Some of you love me so much, you'll say, "Yes, we got it." No, it has to be presented in a way that we understand, because if we don't understand it, we won't do it. Remember the parable of the sower. He that heareth the word and understandeth it not, then comes the evil one and takes away the word that was sown in your heart. Because for whatever reason, when it was going forth, we were on the wayside. And it's not always because we just don't care or not paying attention. Sometimes we're distracted by our thoughts of not knowing. We'll hear something, I wonder what that means. And you start thinking about that and miss the explanation. You know, so every trip to the wayside isn't because you're just irresponsible. No, it happens to me all the time. You know, I'm writing something down, and I'll look over at my wife's and I'll say, what was that scripture? I just missed it because I was thinking about something else that was said, and I had some thoughts, and I'm writing them down. Well, that's why we go back to the recordings and listen to them. That's why, you know, we're instructed to meditate in the Word day and night, observing to do all that's written, not some that's written. So once we receive the revelation, well, let me read it in the Message Bible. It puts it in a little different, much stronger light, I think. It says, God, our God, will take care of the hidden things. God will take care of the things that you don't know about, that you're not aware of. God will take care of them. But the revealed things are our business. What he reveals is our business, not his business. Once he reveals it to us, now it becomes our business, and he expects us to handle our business. He says it's up to us and our children to attend to all the terms in this revelation. It's up to us to make sure everything concerning the revelation he just gave us, we do. And that we pass it on so that our children can continue to do it. It's up to us and our children to attend to the revelation we receive. It's up to us. If God didn't want us to know it, he would have kept it a hidden thing. But he wants us to know. He said he'll withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. So if you are searching, and we're going to see in a moment where we have to search for the revelation. God expects us to go after it. He doesn't expect us to just sit down and just, you know, we get a little holy ding and, I got it. No, that's television. That's not real life. But God expects us to go after the revelation. Would you go to Proverbs 4, please? And I'm going to share a few verses in the Passion Translation. It's not going to be in order. I'm going to share 2, 5, and 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Because it's up to us and our children to attend to all the terms of the revelation. Proverbs 4, I'm in the Passion Translation, so if you don't have an electronic Bible, you may need to just look at the monitors. It says, my revelation truth is a gift to you, so remain faithful to my instruction. Verse 5, so make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. Verse 7. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it. So here's a question. What's the purpose of an investment? To get a return. Yes. To get a return on what? Yes. On what you invested. You know, I mean, if you invested money, you expect a return monetarily. Right? You don't expect, I'm investing in money and I'm going to get chocolate chip cookies in return. No, unless you invest in a chocolate chip cookie manufacturer. But when you invest revelation knowledge, the expectation is you're going to get more revelation knowledge. And it says revelation knowledge is what we need, so invest in it. Why? Because then you get more. You don't just get, okay, I got a revelation, that's fine. You know, tra-la-la, I don't need anything else. Yes, you do. You need more. More. Mark 4. See Amplified Bible, verse 23. Again, it just goes to the point that we have to search search after revelation knowledge, because if we don't, we'll lose it. Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, this is the Amplified Bible, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Listen to this. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth. Let me read it the right way. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. The truth and the knowledge that you hear will come back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has more, more will be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. So Jesus is saying, be careful. For the same measure that you think about the word and study the word, it's coming back to you. It's coming back. See, the giving principle isn't just about money. It's about everything that we do. The principle is the same. It says, for him who has, for those who have revelation knowledge and are seeking after revelation knowledge, more revelation knowledge will be given to you. But if you're not looking for it, even what you have will be taken away. Why? You'll become dull of hearing. You'll become dull. Your understanding will be darkened. You will have developed a hard heart, no longer sensitive to the things of God. So you're not going to be able to receive from God. That's not a state we ever want to find ourselves in. We always want to be in a position where our hearts know and receive God's voice any place, any time. The Passion Translation, Mark 4, beginning at verse 23, says, if you understand what I'm saying, you need to respond. He just puts it out there. You understand it? Yes. Well, then you need to respond. And that doesn't necessarily mean you need to say something. You need to do something. Then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. I need to insert something there. I don't want to, but I'm going to. See, when it comes back to this climate in which we live, one of the things that we don't do, or we don't do well, is take the time to research to find out what was really said and what's the real purpose behind it. We take things at face value, and that's dangerous. God doesn't even want us to take him at face value. He says, study to show yourself approved. Amen. Our founding pastors didn't want us to take what they said at face value. They said, you study the word for yourself. And your current pastors say the same thing. Just because I said it doesn't mean you just take what I... No, you read it out. You study it out. You let God tell you. Because if it's God, you'll get the same thing I got. But I don't take things at face value. My attitude is, And I'll go to a reliable source. I value the opinions of those who have gone back to look at original artifacts. And then I still don't, while I value it, I don't place everything because these eyes didn't see it. I'm still forming an opinion on what someone has said they saw. When God gives us a revelation, we have to be diligent to find out the meaning behind everything that we hear. We have, I get calls all of the time. You probably get some also. Someone will call me and say, I had this dream. I believe God is showing me this. What does it mean? I'm like, I'm not God. I'm not the one that gave you the dream. You need to go to the dream giver for the explanation. Or they'll hear a word. God gave me this word. Okay. What does it mean? I didn't give it to you. I'm not going to stand up there and go, thus saith the Lord. It means, I don't know what it means to you. You need to ask the one who told you. Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. Means the hungrier you are, the more you'll get. That's why the Bible says hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you will be filled. If there's no hunger and no thirst, you won't be filled. You have to show God that you want this thing. And the only way you want it, you have to go after it. How many of you are married? How many of us are married? Okay. Did you go to a catalog and just checked off? Okay, 5, 5 and a half. Yep, want that. Weight, yep. Complex, yep. Yep, 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 yep. Okay, this is what I want. And then you just sit down and it comes in the mail. No, you had to go after. You had to pursue. You had to pursue. You had to find out likes, dislikes, had to put down some things that might not be liked, you know, because you're going after. Because this is who I want. So I'm going after them, and I'm not holding anything back. See, there's a problem with holding things back. How do you come up with what it is you're going to hold back? You don't know. You're guessing, well, this part's not important. How do you know that? You don't. God doesn't want us to. He wants us to go after his revelation knowledge. Don't hold back. It says, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, for as you do, more understanding will be given to you, and according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. They think they have. That's talking about a person who thinks they know everything. That's what it's talking about. I don't need to do all that. I already know. Someone once said to me, I know enough of the word to get by. That's what they said. Well, you know, I see your facial expressions, but to an extent, we're all guilty of that. Say, well, how do you know? Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of us get into the Word every time God says so? I mean, that's how many times God said, God will wake us up, go pray. How many times do we not get up and go pray? So God, I'll get up in 10 minutes. How many times will God come? He said, yeah, he wants me to pray for an hour every day. I don't have an hour today. So I'll give him a real good 15 minutes. And that should be enough. No, if he said an hour, then guess how much is enough? An hour. If he says, spend more time in my word, then you spend more time in your word. When do you stop? When he says stop. Why? Because Jesus is the center, and it's all about him. Not the program, not the movie, not dinner, nothing. It's all about him, because we need to get revelation knowledge after about everything that he has said and is saying, because we want to do it. Then I heard something, I read something very interesting in just studying, reading different commentaries about the scripture. We know the word is the word, when we talk about the parable of the sower, the word is the seed is the word of God. So the word is a seed. And what does the seed do? What does the seed do? It grows. So the word is a seed that grows. And he talks about letting our light shine, having the word in our hearts. We're supposed to glow. So the word is a seed that grows, and the light is a heart that glows. That glows. So that everybody can see you're a child of the light. And that good works follow you. So please don't think for a moment you can get a revelation and then just rest on it. We can't. And we have to learn how to keep things in the right perspective. When we get a revelation, we have to keep it in the right perspective. In Luke 10... Luke 10, in the Amplified Bible, begin at verse 17. This is after Jesus gave his disciples some instructions. He anointed them and he sent them out with some instructions. And they followed his instructions. And verse 17 says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning, a flash from heaven. He said, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy, all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. He's saying, you're getting excited like you did something. I gave you the power to do these things. You're talking about the devil. I saw him fall like lightning. And I've given you power over him. Of course they're going to be subject to you in my name. So don't think for a moment that you're all that. The reason you accomplished that is because I gave you the power to do it in my name. You understood it, and you did it. Let's keep this thing in the proper perspective. Later on in that passage, he says, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. He said, now, if you want to get excited about something, you get excited about that. But we'll do some good. The person recovered. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you see that? Oh, my God. I didn't expect that. Why not? Why not? Did Jesus say it? Yes. Did you understand it? Yes. You got the revelation. Yes. You did it. Yes. Well, what else did you expect to happen? But Jesus said, no, don't get excited because demons are subject to you in my name. I guess we can get excited if they're subject to us in our name, but they're not. The Passion Translation says when the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. Jesus replied, while you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you. Listen to this, wait, the way the Passion puts this. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You need to get that revelation. It says, now you will understand I have imparted to you all my authority to trample his kingdom. All the authority Jesus has to trample over the devil, he's given to us. Amen. All of it. All the authority. to trample over all the power of the enemy. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Not some of the power, every power. But if we don't understand that revelation, we'll wind up being beaten up by someone who's been beaten up. I mean, think about that. You're in a fight. You knock someone out. They revive him. He's lying on the ground saying, I'm just going to beat you up. Right. Can you say size 16 coming at you? You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority, or you could say, as you are walking in this revelation, nothing will be able to harm you. Nothing, not a thing. No thing, however you want to put it, slice it, look at it, nothing's going to harm you. As long as we're staying within the boundaries of the revelation. I told you on several occasions, I could walk up and down Rockaway Boulevard between the Van Wyck Expressway and 150th Street any time of night with $100 bills hanging out of my pocket. I didn't have them, but if I had them, I could. And no one would have touched me because I was Miss Ruby's son. But if I crossed over the Van Wyck Expressway, they didn't know Miss Ruby. So I had to stay within the confines of the revelation. As long as I was between the Van Wyck Expressway and 150th Street, I was fine. Nobody would touch me. Not the gang, not the Roman lords, not the chaplains, not the bishops, not the drug addicts, not even the police officers. Everybody knew Miss Ruby, and everybody knew I was her son. That's funny, they didn't know my sisters were her daughters, but they knew I was her son. And I had authority. If I misused the authority, then she came down on me. But nobody would touch me. Nothing will harm you as you walk in the revelation that God gave you. If you walk outside of it, you're on your own. That's why we have to make sure we stay within the confines of the revelation that he gave us. So if you walk out, if you stay inside the revelation, nothing can harm you. If you walk outside, just about everything may harm you because you've walked away from your covering. I just need to share one more thing with you. It's in line with having a responsibility with the revelation you receive, and it's a model of how we're to operate in the revelation. Look at John 8. I'm going to show you something in a very familiar scripture. I'd never seen this before. John 8 is in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. Verse 28, Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father has taught me. I say exactly what my Father has taught me. And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. So Jesus is telling us something here. One, only do exactly what Father tells you to do. Only do exactly what Father reveals to you. Number one. Number two, as long as you do what pleases him, he'll never leave you. So he's letting us know that operating in the revelation is pleasing to God. In the Passion Translation, it reads, you will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed. I am his messenger, and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. How do you make sure you only do what delights God's heart? You do exactly what he tells you. God really makes this thing simple. He'll tell you, I don't like peas. Don't give me peas. Now you got a revelation. Don't give God peas. But some of you give him, well, I like peas. Yeah, but he doesn't. Okay. So you're going to give him what you want or what he likes. All right. Now in Luke 21, this is where I wanted to get to. So we've already established Jesus only, he said, he says exactly what the Father has revealed. Did he not? And he said he does everything that's pleasing. Okay. Luke 22. Beg pardon? 22. Luke 22. See, why'd you say 21? Well, I did a quick look. It's verse 31. So I looked at 22 and 31, and I saw 21. Just being honest with you. Okay. Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, King James Version. And the Lord said, well, first of all, I want you to understand, when I would read, was reading these verses, I was under the opinion that Jesus was having a private conversation with Peter, but he wasn't. They were sitting together. This was just when they had, you know, we call the Last Supper, they were all together. So this wasn't really like a private conversation. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, where did Jesus get that information? The Father revealed it to him. And now he's shared it with Peter. Now Peter's responsible for this. Verse 32, this amazed me. Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just said Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. That means to separate you from me. Some translations say Satan is asked incessantly. And I was amazed, first of all, Jesus didn't say, I told him no. Jesus never addressed the devil. You think about that. He never addressed Satan, even though he knew what Satan was trying to do. What he did was, what's the next verse say? But I have prayed. What did he pray? That your faith fail not. Why did he pray that? Because that's what God told him to pray. Because he said, I say exactly what my Father has revealed to me. Exactly. So God said, Satan's desired. He's come to me, and he wants to sift them as wheat. You pray that their faith fail not. See, sometimes we don't wait and find out from the Holy Ghost how we're supposed to pray about anything. We don't wait to get the revelation on how I should pray about it. We just start praying. And we start binding and loosing. And there's nothing wrong with binding and loosing, but if that's not what God wants done, Jesus said, Satan, I bind you in my name. You will not separate them from me. He said, no, I have prayed that your faith faileth not. Then he says, but when you're converted. And I'm like, wait a minute. If you prayed that his faith wouldn't fail, why does there need to be a conversion? You ready for this revelation? Just because you miss it doesn't mean you've lost faith. Just because you miss it doesn't mean your faith failed. We beat ourselves up because we miss it. Jesus wasn't concerned. He knew that Peter was going to deny him three times while he was saying this to him. But he said to Peter, I've prayed that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brother. I know you're going to deny me three times this night. I know that you're going to be afraid. When you get it back together, but I also know you're going to get it back together. And when you do, strengthen each. Now, he could have selected any other people of the persons in there. He selected Peter. Why? He must have known. God must have told him that, yeah, Peter, he's going to deny you. He's going to have a moment, but he's going to recover. And once he recovers, he will do exactly what you told him to do. And that's what Peter did. So we have to stop making up our minds as to how people are going to act or how they're not going to act and start going to God and let God tell us this person, that person. We're asking God about things. You know, and yeah, there are names that come through our heads. We're like, God, who do you want? Give us the revelation on who should oversee this or who should oversee that or who should be here or who should be there. You give us the revelation because you know all things. You know, how many of you have a purpose and plan for your life? Why? God says he knows the plans he has for you. So unless your plan is generic, whereas my plan is to follow whatever plan God has for my life, you may wind up disappointed. Because you want to go one way, and God is giving you a revelation that says, this is the way for you. I don't like that way. He didn't ask you that. This way is easier. He didn't ask you that. He said, this is the revelation that I'm sharing with you. And Jesus prayed so your faith won't fail. Doesn't mean you're not going to miss it. Doesn't mean, see, there are a lot of times where we say some things that I believe causes confusion. You know, we'll tell folks, well, either you're in faith or you're in fear. I understand what that means. But Jesus didn't seem to have a problem with that with Peter. Jesus said, I pray that your faith won't fail. And in the same breath, he said, and when you're converted. So that, yes, I'm praying that your faith won't fail, but you're going to have a moment. But I know you're going to get it, Peter. And Peter got it. Once he got it, he didn't walk away from it. And the same person that denied Christ three times stood in the midst of the enemy and preached the sermon and got 3,000 people saved. Why? He believed what Jesus said. He believed it. So he didn't beat himself up. He didn't go around saying, how could I deny the Christ? Oh, I'm not good for anything. Oh, no. He had already been given the revelation. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He understood what that meant. And he got converted. And guess what he did when he got converted? He strengthened the brethren. He strengthened them. So, folks, I said all of that to say this one little simple truth. The secret things do belong to God. But once God reveals it to you, it now belongs to you, and you have the responsibility to do with it what God wills. I don't care what it is. But seek after revelation knowledge about everything. I'm the type of person, I don't want to know just what was said. I have a need to know why it was said and what the expectation is of me because it was said. There were several rules about leadership meetings that were put in place because of me. Because I would ask questions. Because my attitude is, this is a leadership meeting. This is where I get my answers. I need to know something, I'm going to ask. Period. I don't look at the clock. It got to the point where Pastor Sarah said, no, we're going to let everybody else go first. And then we'll let you go. Because I always had I'd submit a proposal, and it would come back no. Now, most people would say, well, the pastor said no, not me. I went back. Why is this no? Why can't we do this? And she looked at me like, what do you mean? Well, I believe I covered all of the points here, and so I don't see why this is a no. And then she would tell me, well, you're giving this to us now, and you want to have this event then. We don't have time to go through this. So I realized, okay, no means I didn't give you enough time to thoroughly review my proposal. Then I found out no could mean I didn't give enough time, for the parents to get together all of the money. And then I found out no could mean this is not something that the ministry was called to do. So each time I got more revelation, and I acted on it. So you didn't tell us how this is going to be paid for. So I started giving proposals that had fundraising things in them to let them know. I kept asking for and seeking after information. I wouldn't just accept it at face value and say, oh, well, I tried. That was it. No. I was accountable to all the young people who wanted to do things. And so I went and then I started getting yes. What? Because I was fulfilling the things that were required. How'd you know it was required? I asked. God expects us to walk out the revelation that he gives us in its totality. How do we do that? We ask. God, what does this mean? He'll show you. God, how do I get this started? He'll show you. But you have to be convinced to the core that God speaks to you and you hear his voice. You have to be convinced of that. So how do we be convinced? Take him at his word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So I walk around with this expectation that I'm going to hear clearly what Jesus is saying. And if I don't hear clearly, it's because I chose not to. And I didn't just, you know, when I say that, I don't mean I just say, well, I'm not going to listen to Jesus today. No, it just means I choose to do something else instead, which really is saying the same thing when you think about it. So, folks, say the secret things belong to God. But that which he reveals to me belongs to me and my children. And God's expectation is that we walk in the revelation he gives us. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you all of the praise. Thank you for clearing up this matter for us. Thank you, Lord, for making it plain, for making it clear, for making it easy to understand. Because it's really very simple. You tell us what you want. You reveal to us what you want. We do it. And if we don't know how, we ask you, and you tell us. Thank you, Lord, for directing us in how we can conduct ourselves the same way Jesus did, to do exactly what you reveal to us and only do those things that are pleasing to you in your sight. That's our desire. And we thank you, Lord, that even when we miss it, you're ever faithful to show us where we've stepped off, and you always allow us to step right back on, right back in place. Lord, we're growing. We're really growing by leaps and bounds. And with the growth, we understand that, you know, some mistakes and missteps will happen, and we're grateful that you understand also, and that you've already made a provision for them. And it's so comforting to know that just because we may miss it, it doesn't change your expectation of us. And it doesn't change the trust that you've put in us. You're a loving God. And we appreciate you, Lord. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.